Okay, so we're continuing on with the sugya of achilas basuk vina bazachazat. So we spoke last week about the basic prohibition, highlighting the fact that it's only midrabanan, it's not the bishul, it's not even literally together, but it is clearly prohibited midrabanan, achal basa leyachal gvina. What was unclear is what has to transpire in order for the one to be able to eat, one to be able to be permitted to eat the gvina at that point. So we saw two different ideas emanating from the sugya. One was a notion of waiting, and one was a notion of doing some kind of a physical cleaning. We had different opinions in the poskim whether one is sufficient, whether both are. What exactly does that mean? Is one for one case, one for another case? All the different nuances that came out of the sugya. And all the dust settled at the end of the week last week, we came up with the idea that there seemed to be a whole array of different menhagim and klal yisrael as to how this plays out lamaisa. Anywhere from the most chomer view of the Rambam, which has become probably the most popular view of waiting 6 hours, all the way to the other end of Tosus that says you don't have to wait anything, you just have to simply bench, and anywhere in between, 1 hour, 3 hours, to try to get a little libet chus, all the different opinions that exist. But now what we want to do is focus more on what exactly does it mean, achal basar? What exactly do those words mean, achal basar le'achal gvino? What does it mean to eat meat, which will create this issa, the engine that will drive this prohibition of eating milchiks? What exactly has to happen? So we have to define two things. We have to define eating, and we have to define meat. What constitutes having eaten something? What constitutes meat for these purposes? We'll try to take it step by step to a few different scenarios that play out, some very, very common challenges that play out, in order to try to define properly what does achal basar mean, which again will set into motion the prohibition of achal gvina. So let's go back all the way back to the first of the Mamre Kavos, back to Chulin Kuvdal Rebeis. But the Gemara had introduced us a brisa, which was the exception to this prohibition of achal basar leachal gvina. Let's find out with the Tana, first line. Tana Igra Chamud Rabbi Abba. Igra was the father of Rabbi Abba, presented a brisa to us. Ofu gvina nechon b'apikurin, that chicken, poultry, and cheese can be eaten b'apikurin, which means a little like in b'afkerus. They can be eaten together, no problem. What does it mean? Together, no problem. But that means you can have a chicken and cheese sandwich? No, that you can't do. That was already in Machlokes and Tanoim, and we pass that that is prohibited. But what it does mean is as follows, that Igra presented us the brayse. Now Igra explained to us what the brayse means. There is no need to wash one's hands in between, and there is no need for our purposes to clean out one's mouth in between. But the basic din, the basic halach of kinuach, which was part of our whole discussion last week, the basic halach of kinuach, the requirement of cleaning one's mouth out between eating certain foods, that din was only said by Bisar Behema. It wasn't said by Bisar Of. Now we have two questions. Number one, why should that be so? And number two, is it in fact so? Is it really true? Do we follow this brisa that was that's quoted here in the Gemara? So let's take a look at Tosus and the second of the Mamre Kavos. Tosus makes the following interesting observation. Tosus writes, let's pick it up on that. The second of the Mamre Kavos, the first one line is Tchila. So it's about 10 lines down or so. First one line is Tchila towards the middle of the line. The Olam Nagu, Shelo Lechol Gvina Acha Bosa Klal, Vafilu Achar Of. So says Tosus, they're looking around and they're telling you that the Olam is knowing not to eat cheese immediately after any meat, including chicken. So now Tosus says, wait a second, we're against the Gemara. V'yafa gav d'tani igra, of u'gvina nechol b'pikurin, even though there's an explicit brayse that taught us, and the Gemara doesn't present it even as a machlokes, that one is allowed to eat of u'gvina together, i.e. you don't have to. And the lashon of the brayse is of u'gvina. Sounds like the of is coming first. So how do we reconcile the fact that Gemara says explicitly that it's mutter? There's no need to wait after chicken. And we know that nobody does that. So what's pshat? So Tosfos says, we'll explain to you why. Why is it that the brayse of Igra was so lenient, was so makil, to not require any hefsek, not require any cleaning between chicken and milk? It must be that brayse was assuming that Bisar Of altogether is only midirabbana. Now, this is an old question already. Whether the Isa D'Araisa Bas B'chalav applies only to Bisar Behema, or it applies even to Bisar Of. So Tosfos is suggesting that maybe the brayse of Igra was taking a stand on this issue, I was assuming that, well, it's only Dirabanan anyway. Even if you have cheese and chicken literally together, it's only Dirabanan. Even if it's literally cooked together, it's only Dirabanan. So if the whole list is Dirabanan, now to make a Dirabanan on a Dirabanan, don't eat chicken and then have cheese afterwards. Gezeirah, you're going to eat them together. And even eat them together, it's a Dirabanan. So many Dirabanans on top of one another. Maybe that's really a little bit too much. So maybe the Braisa that was so lenient, that's only because the Braisa was assuming that the Issur of Ofen Gvina was on a Dirabanan in the first place. But now Tosfos makes it about face. Tosfos says, Tulu Kaimel Anochi. Says Tosfos, we don't pass for that way. We pass like the other Tanoim. We pass like the Tanoim that Pesach Ofen is in fact the Araisa. So there are really two loaded statements in these words of Tosfos. Number one, Tosfos explained to us that the reason why the Braisa was so makil was halachic reason, was because Ofen is only the Rabbanan, that's Chiddush number one. The Braisa doesn't explain the reason why it's makil, well, that's reason number one. And now Chiddush number two, says Tosfos, that we don't postulate this Braisa because we disagree with the fundamental premise that's guiding this Braisa. We postulate this that Ofen is the Raisa. So two big Chiddushim in Tosfos, Pshat in the Braisa, and their assumption that we don't postulate the Braisa, that explains away why the Oilam is so machmir. Now, we can question both of these assumptions of Tosfos. So we take a look at the end of the Tosfos, the last line of Tosfos, from Benetam and Farish, time of the Igra, Mishum, the Oath, in a new book, we are Daiva, Shanaim, Charichayim. Says in Benetam, we totally misunderstood the Braisa in the first place. Why is the Braisa so lenient about Masar Oath? This is not for halachic reasons, it's for cleanliness reasons, namely, the whole reason why you have to wait is because Besar Behema is gets stuck, it's nidbuk, whatever that means. It gets stuck more in your fingers, it's thicker to it, it gets stuck in your teeth, it gets stuck in the palate, it's stuck in the back of your mouth. Those kinds of concerns apply much less to chicken. And therefore, Minatam says that's the reason why Igra differentiated between meat and chicken. If that's the reason that the difference between meat and chicken has nothing to do with halachic reasons of one is more chum, one is more deraisa, and the other is the derabanan. Rather, it has to do with the fact of pure cleanliness issues. So then why should we argue with the sanitary standards of Igra? Why is that impacted by what you think about the sort of deraisa and derabanan? Only according to the first antithesis that the braisa that was so lenient was based on halacha. So then maybe the halacha doesn't apply. Maybe the halacha is different where we pass kim sarof as deraisa. But if you're going to tell me that it's based on a technical metzias issue of cleanliness of hands and mouth, so then why in the world should we not pass it that way? So that's issue number one with Tosfos. Issue number two with Tosfos is, who says that we pass Kibbutz HaOfiz Deraisa? That's a huge, huge Chiddush. That's a tremendous Chiddush. Most of the Rishonim, the overwhelming majority of the Rishonim, don't pass it that way. Led, of course, by the famous Sheet of Rambam. Rambam is so adamant that we don't Paskin, the Pesach Ofiz Deraisa, that the Rambam gives that as his famous example of a violation of Al-Taisa. The Rambam has a unique sheet in Hilchos Mamrim that if a Beis Din misrepresents the Din HaTorah and goes in and tells everybody, by the way, Muktzah is Deraisa. By the way, Bishlachim is Deraisa. Neiros Chanukah is Deraisa. They go ahead and they tell people that the Rabbanans are really Deraisa. That's a violation of Al-Tosif. You're not allowed to add on to the Mitzvah HaTorah. So the Rambam, in searching for what it illustrates, the Rambam could have given you thousands of examples of Dinam Durabanan that could be misrepresented and violated by Tosif. The Rambam just gave you one. He doesn't need 100 examples. One example will suffice. So the Rambam says, Kigon, if a Beis Din will get up and say, chicken and milk is also min HaTorah, says the Rambam, that's about Tosif. What the Beis Din should say is, the Rambam should get up and say, min HaTorah, you're allowed to have chicken and milk together. It's not Gedibah Chalavimo. But with the Rabbanan, we think it's a good idea that we should make a gezeira atu basa. You know, chicken meat, it looks pretty similar, tastes pretty similar. So there's going to shmol, you can't even tell which is which. So therefore, it's a good idea to make it the Rabbanan. That's fine. That's legitimate, says the Rabbanan. To make the Rabbanan, that's fine. But to make so the Rabbanan is obviously can't go down the route of this Tosfos. So we have a lot of Rishayim who question this Tosfos. Tosfos is looking at the Minhag HaOlam. And we're not arguing with Tosfos' observation. Every Jew knows that. Who here doesn't know? Which firm person doesn't know? They have to wait after chicken. That's against the Gemara. The Gemara is the fish, you don't have to wait. The Gemara is the fish, you have to be curried. How do you explain away that phenomenon? So Tosfos searched, and they came up with a theory. The theory was, well, the Gemara is only assuming Ofiz Deraisa. We pass it to Deraisa, and therefore we don't follow this cool of the Braisa. So according to a bit of time, the first assumption is incorrect. because the reason why the Braisa was Mekel had nothing to do with Oaf being Durabon, had to do with the technicalities in terms of cleaning up after Oaf. And number two, according to the Shittas Rambam, it obviously is impossible for us to subscribe to Tosafot's theory, because to do so would be Shalei Kalacha, to do so would be a flagrant violation of Al Tosaf, so we wouldn't want to buy into this according to the Rambam. So what is an answer? What other possible answer can we come up with? So if you take a look at take a look at the Rambam in the third of the Rambam. Let's go back to the Rambams that we spoke about earlier. If you reread once again a few Rambams together, so then we're going to realize how the Rambam solved this problem. So the Rambam in the third of the Rambam, back to Halacha Vav, the Rambam writes, "Mishaf al gvina ochal tchila." If a person ate cheese first, man, we've even heard of eating cheese first being a problem. Well, the Rambam did. The Rambam understood that eating cheese first can sometimes pose a problem. And the following, you can eat meat right away. There's no need to wait. But what you have to do is, clean out your mouth. You have to wash your hands. Also, other reasons, but you have to clean out your mouth. The Rambam starts off by saying, eating cheese is not a green light to eat meat. Eating cheese requires something, but that something need not be waiting. The only thing is that you have to clean out your mouth. So now comes the Rambam. Continues in Halacha Chav Zayin on the next page. Comes the Rambam in Halacha Chav Zayin. It says, "Bamed, Bamamurim. When do you have to clean out your mouth after cheese? That is, Bebesar Behema Ochaya. Avalim Ochol Bosar Oaf, Achash Ochol Gvino Ochol, Inatzach Ochidoch Abel Tos Yadayim." Says the Rambam, when it comes to chicken, then there is no need. Then we have a right to be Mekel. Why do we have a right to be Mekel? So apparently the Rambam is telling us, is that probably because chicken is only derabbanan, that chicken is only derabbanan, and therefore we have a right to be a little bit more makil. We don't have to be so worried about the little taste of something, the little residue that's left in the mouth. However, comes the Rambam halacha kav ches, the next Rambam. Nishachol boso betchila. What if a person eats meat first? So now that's a game changer one. So first of all, the Rambam says, everything that I told you back in Halacha Chav Zayin, any distinction between chicken and milk, is not going to be relevant in this game changer, because now we're talking about eating meat first. And what else is not going to be relevant in this game changer? Says the Rambam, not only is eating meat significantly worse because now we're not going to be lenient concerning chicken, but also we're not going to be lenient just to let you wash out your mouth. Here you have to wait 6 hours. And why is that? Why is this such a game changer? Because you will not be able to get the pieces of meat out when it comes to eating cheese first. The cheese doesn't get so stuck in the teeth. So therefore, all you have to do is just wash out your mouth well and you're good to go. But when it comes to meat, so then we're much more concerned. If meat was eaten first, then you have the concern of basa shemena shinayim, and that's going to be a huge problem. It's not going to suffice with merely washing out your mouth. So the Rambam has now developed for us something that we referenced a little bit last week, that there are really two different sugis going on. There are two different concerns. When you're going from milchiks to fleishiks, so then there's nothing stuck in your teeth per se, there's just the residue, the taste, whatever it is that's inside the mouth, but not the end, not mamish meat. That's one concern. That concern, easy come, easy go. We can solve that concern. We can address that concern by simply washing out, cleaning out your mouth properly, maybe a little bit of salt, a little bit of liquid, whatever your definition, whatever you think is the halacha is about the proper cleaning out of the mouth. But since we're going simply from milchiks to fleishiks, there is no concern of anything benashinayim. Therefore, simple cleanup is good enough. Since this concern is a significantly less concern, there's nothing really to end. We can't even point anything. We can't touch anything. We can't feel anything. There's nothing really there. So that concern was not instituted when there's no need whatsoever to do anything after partaking of milchiks and then to eat chicken. Asha'en kein, if the tables are turned and now you eat meat first, then you have a whole other problem. You have a concern of basa shemena shinayim. Basa shemena shinayim is a real be'en. It's something that's really, really there. You have to be worried about, and it's not enough simply to wash out your mouth. It's not going to do the trick. You have to wait X amount of time for that meat to disintegrate, for that meat to no longer be considered halachically as meat anymore. And since the concern is much greater than the first way around, that concern carries over to oaf as well. So oaf to be followed by cheese is the same problem as meat to be followed by cheese. So when the Braisa says that oaf and gvina nechalam epikoren, you can eat them efkeiros and you don't have to clean out your mouth, says the Rambam, of course we pass like the Braisa. That's not a question. Avad after you pass like the Braisa. We pass like the Braisa, but oaf and gvina nechalam epikoren didn't mean chicken and then cheese. The order is a little flipped. The Lashna Gemara, the Lashna Braisa was a little bit lavdafka. Oaf and gvina nechalam epikoren meant cheese first and then chicken. Because chicken first and cheese, forget it. There is no hetter for that. So it comes out, according to the Rambam, we have a great solution to Tosfos' dilemma. We understand the minhag olam. Why does every kid know, I had chicken last night for dinner, and now a few hours later, I want to have ice cream. So I had to scrounge around looking for the pot of ice cream. Why did I eat the milchig ice cream? The Braisa says, but famish, it's okay. So the answer is, no, it doesn't. The Braisa doesn't say it's okay. The Braisa said, if you had cheese first, you can have chicken afterwards, and don't bother cleaning your mouth. But the Braisa never said that if it's meat first, then milchig is okay. There is no such Braisa. According to Tosfos, there is a Braisa, and we don't possibly make the Braisa. According to the Rambam, there's no Braisa whatsoever. The Braisa wasn't even talking about the normal scenario of going from meat to milk. When it comes to going meat to milk, two significant things change. One is that cleaning out the mouth doesn't suffice. You have to wait X amount, which the Rambam holds X is 6 hours. And number two that changes is there is no difference between Bessar Behema versus Bessar Oaf. So no matter how you slice it, Bein Lefi HaTosfos, Bein Lefi HaRambam, we know why we know what we're doing is correct. We all know, so for little kids, if you have a piece of chicken, we don't tell you, okay, no problem, you can have ice cream in 10 minutes. No. You have to wait it out. For chicken, the same, we have to wait it out for meat. Either according to Tosfos, because we don't paskin like the Braisa Igra, or according to the Rambam, we paskin like it, but the Braisa wasn't talking about going from flesh to milk.
Rambam and the Rabbeinu Tam are arguing Metzius where the oaf sticks in your teeth?
No, I think they're according to Rabbeinu Tam, the fact that sticking your teeth is not relevant. It's such an insignificant amount that that's something that Chazal are really worried about. If you know for a fact there's a piece of chicken, a piece of meat that's there, then Rabbeinu Tam agrees, take it out. But just to say across the board that there's a gzeira across the board that every single person can't eat cheese because every once in a while there's muscle, then Rabbeinu Shinayim, Ben Tam says, you look around, you feel around, nothing there, great, everything's good to go. When the Rambam, no, there was a special Tekhanos HaChomim to ask for it because of the concern of the Bosman in Shinem. I think Metzias, they both went to the same dentist. I don't think it was much like Metzias. So now, continuing on to try to determine what is considered to be Achilles Bosar for our purposes. So let's move on a little bit to the ninth of the Barmakamos. So jump out a little bit to the ninth of the Barmakamos. And comes the Taz and makes reference back to this Rambam, back to some of the things we've been talking about up to now. We have seen really two different reasons emerging as to this waiting or cleaning bread in the first place. One is the concern of taham, of the taste, of somehow that quasi-residue in the mouth that can actually literally be felt. And number two was the physical issue of a bosal de ben shinayim. So comes the Taz at a night in Rambam Kamos, it's quoting really already from earlier sources, already quoting where the Tor made this observation that Yesh was a base time, that this whole halacha is really based on two different reasons. Echad she'abasa motzi shuman u'moshech tam atzmak aruch, that meat gives off this longer tam. This was already the original Rishon to say this idea was already Rashi. U'lefi zeh, says the Taz, mishalo ochel el alois latinok. What if a person isn't really eating the meat? They're simply putting a little piece of meat into their mouth and just chewing it up a little bit, but they're not really getting into their mouth and the tom's not really coming out. They're simply chewing a piece of meat to make it a little bit smaller for a child. Again, we are not discussing the sanitary angle of this, but I guess this was considered to be an appropriate way of cutting a piece of meat. If you have a knife, so you do it with your teeth. So comes the Taz and says, and that's all you did, then there's no reason to have to wait because the meat didn't really spread in your own mouth. It didn't really taste the meat in the first place. So then there wouldn't be no requirement. You wouldn't pick up fleshings for that. But nevertheless, the Taz says the second reason is the Rambam's reason. According to the Rambam, the reason is because of the Bosa Shemen HaShinayim. And what magic happens after 6 hours? So after 6 hours, presumably it's considered to be like, quote unquote, like digested already. You know, it's not down in the stomach. The fact that it's in the teeth for so many hours already, it's exposed already to the saliva. If I remember back from ninth grade biology, yes, Dr. Fisher, maybe you can correct me in this one. Hopefully I'm right in this one. That the digestive process already begins in the mouth. Am I correct? That the saliva, the enzymes, very good. Got it. Okay, good. The enzymes already beginning to break down some parts of the food. So apparently the Rambam understood that already in between the teeth, it's been sitting in the mouth, exposed to the saliva for 6 hours. It's already ois basa. It's already not considered to be basa. So according to the Rambam, that the reason has to do with the basa shemen shenayim, l'fizeh gamal ois chayv lahamtin. So that even if you just simply chew a piece of meat for a child, that's a problem because you have some meat that's stuck in between your teeth potentially. So the Taz, again, quoting you early from the Rishonim back to the tour, highlights that this machlekes, the reasons, the Rashi and the Rambam, are we focusing on the taste, are we focusing on the meat in the teeth, is not just a theoretical machlekes, it's a very, very practical machlekes, that it spills over to what's called eating, is just merely chewing a little piece of meat and then taking it out, is that called eating meat? So according to Rashi, that the reason is based on the real Tam HaDavar, probably not, according to the Rambam. So then that would pose a problem. Now we have another thing. Then the Taz references the Torah that says there is a kula, though, in the other direction. What happens after 6 hours? If a person has a good steak, and it happens sometimes, a person has a whole steak to eat, and you wake up the next morning, 10 hours later, and there's still a piece of meat stuck between your teeth, and you want to have your coffee and milk right now. Is that a problem? Do you have to do anything about it or not? So here, the tables are turned. It's a flip a little bit. Why? According to the Rambam, the whole reason for the 6 hours was to avoid basa shemen shenayim problems. But what do you mean? But isn't there physically still meat left in the teeth? So the answer is yes, but irrelevant. True, but irrelevant. Because whatever meat is left in the teeth has already been, quote unquote, digested. It's already been sitting around for 6 hours in your mouth, full with your saliva. Forget about it. You don't have to worry about it anymore. Therefore, according to the Rambam, the takonas chacham was to wait 6 hours. After 6 hours, the game is over. Whether the meat's there or not there. So according to the Rambam, you wake up 20 hours later and you want to have your piece of cheese and you still got your piece of steak stuck in from the last night's barbecue. So according to the Rambam, that's fine. Don't do anything about it. You don't have to go start flossing and removing the meat because that was the goal of the 6 hours. The goal of the 6 hours was not to physically have it removed. The goal was to make it mu'ukul, to make it digested enough that the halacha doesn't reckon with it anymore. But wait a second, what about according to Rashi? According to Rashi, that the reason for the 6 hours was to avoid taste issues. That's the reason why you're waiting for taste issues. But wait a second, what about meat stuck between the teeth? So Rashi would say, well, we're not worried about it, as long as we don't know about it. But if you know about it, then you gotta do something about it. According to Rashi, if you ate meat 10 hours ago, and you know, you feel there's at least some meat stuck there, of course, you have to take it out. According to Rashi, nowhere do Chazal say that 6 hours is hocus pocus when the meat turns into a pumpkin at 12 o'clock. Nothing happens to the meat after 6 hours. The meat is still there. You don't have to worry about it. The Taqaz Chavah wasn't to be concerned about it unless you know it's there. But if you know it's there, of course, you have to remove it. So now, Chaps and Afkamin Ladin in the other direction. Halach Lamaisa, the guy ate more than 6 hours ago and still feels the meat there. Should you remove it or not? So according to the Rambam, there's no need to remove it. You can have your cheese with the meat in your mouth. It doesn't matter because it's already gone. Halachli, it's gone. According to Rashi, you have to remove it. Says the Taz, we're machmer in the shayla. Both reasons. We don't know what the correct reason is. So therefore, Mahalach Lamaisa says the Taz, that's how we follow. That if either one of these reasons are present, you would be required to wait whatever the amount of waiting is. So either if you just merely chewed a piece of food, chewed a piece of meat, that would require you waiting in deference to the Rambam's view. Or if 6 hours have passed, but you still could physically feel the meat there, you would also be required to remove it in deference to Rashi's view. You wouldn't have to start counting 6 hours over again. You just have to get the piece of meat out and call it a day. So we're not sure what the reason is, and therefore we're machmir across the board. So we're already seeing developing that we have to always ask ourselves, what are we concerned with? What is the reason for this Issa D'Rabban in the first place? And then try to plug in, does that reason apply? And sometimes we're going to have a bachelor, I guess, and we're already beginning to see that not everything is sure what meat is chicken meat or not, depending on what you think about the Bryce Igra. And we're not even quite sure what eating means altogether. But now you move on to another Shaila. What if we know what eating is, and we know what meat is, but what I'm eating is not the meat proper? What I'm eating is what's called a tafshil of the meat. I'm eating a dish that was cooked with the meat. Is that considered to be a concern or not? So let's say, for example, I have chicken soup. But the chicken soup has already been strained out. It's broth. There's no chicken left in the soup. I can't find a piece of real chicken in the soup. It's a tafshel shabosar. Would that pose a problem or not? So meat or chicken was cooked in this food itself, but the chicken or the meat and the be'ed has been removed. Does this issa d'rabbanan kick in or not? So we take a look at the 12th of the Ramakamos. The Ramah is referencing a machlokes between the two brothers, in the Rabbeinu Shmuel, between Rashbam and Rabbeinu Tam. So says the Ramah, the 12th of the Ramakamos is Yodesim and Peitesim. Gimel v'nog v'achshem l'achmir, shlo lechol gvina achat tafshel bosar, k'mo achat bosar atzvoy. Ramo writes that our custom is to refrain from eating cheese or eating milchigs even after a tafshel basar, even though there's no meat per se. This is in deference to the view of the Rashbam. The Tam held there's no such thing, but our minig is the Ramo writes in the 13th of the Ramakamos, Kippur Shabbat Shmuel Shalom. It's basically on the Tosfos, those who want to see it themselves, and the 11th of the Ramakamos, where the Rashbam and Rabbeinu Tam were fighting it out. Our Achorah, our minig is to refrain from eating cheese, eating milchigs even after a mere tafshel basar. And the Ramah concludes, "Ein l'shanus l'fros geder." One should not break down the wall on this one. This is a phrase that the Ramah uses very often in your day, very often, about tzurim and hagim that were accepted in primarily the Ashkenazi communities, tzurim and hagim that were accepted, that may not be be'ikra din, but were accepted as a proper chomer, proper minhag. The Ramah writes, one should not be peretz geder. The Gemara says that peretz geder yishchenu nachash. If a person violates tzurim and hagim atzibur, so a person breaks through the fence, so if you break through the fence, there may be a snake on the other end of the fence that may bite you. So since I don't think anybody here wants to be bit by a snake, neither a literal one or a figurative one, so therefore one should not be parts together. You shouldn't break down the wall. So if the minhag ha'olam in the Ashkenazi communities for Dari Darius was to treat chicken soup the same as a piece of chicken, so that's the way we have to follow. One can understand why. I mean, either according to the Rambam, it's harder to understand, because according to the Rambam, we're worried about a piece of meat, mamash, getting stuck in the teeth. It's probably not going to happen when you're having mere tafshel shabosar. According to Rashi's reason of taste, we can understand. But even according to the Rambam, it could be almost like an extended gezeira, that kulachad gezeira, that the minute that we're going to tell people that they can have chicken soup, so then there's going to be some piece of chicken in that chicken soup also. So it becomes very, very difficult to discern whether you're having a tafshel shabosar or bosar mamash. So maybe that could be part of the rationale to be machmir. But the bottom line is that our minig is to be machmen a tafshel shabosar, to treat it equivalently as basar mamish. However, now the Ramah goes ahead and he qualifies the chumrah a little bit. He qualifies the minhag. Miu. The Ramah continues. Miu ein basar b'tafshel. What if not only is there no meat in the tafshel now, there never was meat in the tafshel. It never was a tafshel shabosar. Rakshin is bashel b'kedeira shabosar. Rather, it was cooked in a fleshing pot. So now this is one step removed. Not only am I not having a piece of meat, I'm not even having a soup that had meat in it. I'm having potato soup that was cooked in a fleshy pot. So a few hours ago, I cooked fleshes in this pot. So let's make the pot a bit yomo. It's giving off tam. So the pot is giving off tam into the potato soup. So comes there one and says, no, nishkafelach. Rakshin is basho b'kdeo shal basar. Mutalechal achar of gvina, that kind of a food, you're permitted to have cheese after that, quote unquote meat, I can't even call it meat, it's not even a tafshel basar, that's permissible. The ain't by minig lahachmir, there is not even a minig to be machmir. This is not even cause for concern, this is not even a violation of parts getish chen nachash. So the Ramah has now set up for us three different levels, three different degrees of what's called eating meat for these halachas to kick in. And again, putting this together, what we spoke about before, we who are equating chicken with meat, either based on the Rambam or based on Tosfos, the bottom line is everybody equates chicken to meat. So then everything we're going to be saying now is talking bane for meat, bane for chicken. So the ultimate case, the original issa with the Rabbanan is also bosa, the guy who had mamish meat, either mamish meat or mamish chicken. So that kuliyam l'pligi l'yachol gvina, again, whatever has to happen, cleaning, waiting, whatever you think the requirements are. That's the ultimate level. Then you have the next level of tafshel chicken in it. So that one could have argued is not included altogether. His view is that there is no problem whatsoever on tafshel shabosar, but that far aminig is to be machmir. Then you have the third level, low, the end of the lowest end of this discussion. That's something which is not even cooked together with meat. It simply was cooked in a fleshy pot. And on that, the Rambam concludes, you're not required to be machmer altogether. So it sounds like the third statement of the Rambam, so poshut, sounds like everyone agrees to it. What could we possibly have to talk about? So strangely enough, there is something to talk about. There's actually a lot to talk about. There's a whole discussion which will really be lead us into a bit tomorrow's year, which is going to revolve around this Rambam. Not that anybody's questioning the Rambam. Not that anybody's arguing the Rambam. No one's going to be machmer the Rambam, which is megillah. Ain't bam in the cloud to be machmer. But the question that is going to be posed to the Rambam is, what's the chiddush? It's so obvious. Why do I even need a Rambam to bother to tell it to me? The implication of the Rambam is that if you had your potato soup cooked in a fleshy pot, Baruch Hashem, thank you to the Rambam, there's no need to wait 6 hours. That's what the Rambam just told you. Baruch Hashem, not for this Rambam, I would have thought you had to wait 6 hours. Kamash wouldn't have to wait 6 hours. All the later Acharonim jump on the Rambam and says, wait a second, forget about not waiting 6 hours. Who says that soup is fleshy altogether? Who says you can't take some milk and put it into the soup right now? Just because it was cooked in a fleshy pot? So what? Who says that cooking something in a fleshy pot will prohibit you from putting milchis into that soup itself? So the Rambam, not that the Rambam is not right, the Rambam is too poshut, the Rambam is not makel enough. The Rambam was makel to say, Baruch Hashem, you could breathe a sigh of relief. You have your potato soup, whew, you can have ice cream afterwards. Ice cream afterwards, I could take a piece of cheese and put it in. What's wrong? I could take some milk and pour it in. What's wrong? So we have to understand a little bit more what the significance of that question is. And that question is really going to touch on an issue we've spoken about here and there during the course of the year about not but not asentab and asentab. We have to hopefully reacquaint ourselves with that a little bit more tomorrow to appreciate where the post can go with this Rambam. So nobody's arguing with the Rambam. The Rambam's not right. What the question of the Rambam is that he's so right, it's so obvious, he could have been mocked even way, way more than he actually did. So hopefully that's tomorrow. We'll have to pick up on that point where the Shachs leads the attack, leaves the question on the Rambam. Hopefully see where that's going to take us, some very, very real potential halacha l'maaseh applications. Okay. Because I think we're right for tomorrow and then for Friday, Thursday and Friday, Rosh Chodesh, but I think it doesn't make much of a difference. So should we just go into, okay. So we'll do tomorrow and Friday, the time is all right? 7:10 is okay for everyone still?
Yeah.
For me, it is. Okay. All right. 7:10 tomorrow and Friday. Good. Thank you.